Hello, everybody. As you saw in the bulletin, the title of my message today is The Wedding at Cana, Jesus' First Miracle. You know, we've all had important times in our lives, times of celebration, of joy and happiness, and then we have a problem develop that we hadn't foreseen. I remember back in 2002, after my first wife had died, the kids and I were all headed down to the feast in the Wisconsin Dells. We stopped in Hudson and picked up Beth Linehan. She was riding down with us, and off to the feast we went. I had a 1992 GMC conversion van. It was very comfortable. Beth was sitting in the other captain's seat with her legs up on the dashboard, and we were off to the Dells. Well, we got down to about Mauston, Linden Station, right in that area somewhere, and my old van was starting to chug along, and it was having a little problem with its transmission of some kind. So I pulled off the highway, and sure enough, right there was a transmission shop, so I pulled up, parked, and went in and talked to the mechanic there. He told me he could come out and look at it, and after looking at it, he said, "Yeah, I think your transmission is in trouble." He said that he was busy. He couldn't look at it this week. And I said, "Well, we were on our way to the Wisconsin Dells for the Feast of Tabernacles." I said, "Just going to the," I didn't say the Feast of Tabernacles. I said, "We were going to the Dells for about a week." And he said, "Well, I've got an old Forest Taurus station wagon over there across the lot. If you wanted to take that, you can use that. And if I have your car ready when you come back, you can, or your van, you can just drive home." And so I thought, wow, that's pretty incredible to have transportation. And so everything went well. We used the wagon for a week and came back, and he had it all ready for us, and off we went. I still marvel at just how God had everything all planned out for me, even though I hadn't expected it. My specific purpose today is how the works of God build our faith and increase our trust in Him. And today I'd like to look at that first miracle that Jesus performed, where He turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. How changing the water into wine built the faith of Christ's new disciples. You know, God, right from the very beginning, planned marriage as his plan for all the people that he needed in his plan. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. So weddings were right from the very beginning. And of course, Jesus' mother, let's go over to Luke 1. We'll start in verse 30. Luke 1 and verse 30. This was when the archangel Gabriel had come to Mary. And he says, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know man?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God.'" So Mary, at this wedding, was quite well aware of who Jesus Christ was. So let's turn over to John 2, and we'll look at the wedding at Cana. John 2, starting right in verse 1. Jesus, in the end of chapter 1, had just started calling some of the apostles. He was called John and Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathaniel, and they all had gone up to this wedding in Cana of Galilee. So in verse 1, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. The mother of Jesus was at the wedding. It says she was present. It doesn't say if she was invited or whose wedding it was. Let's see who else was there in verse 2. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So it tells us that Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding where Christ's mother was. And we have this wonderful event of a wedding, and a big problem arises. Let's see what happens and who was concerned for the bride and groom. In verse 3 it says, "And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.'" So the mother, Mary, was very concerned for the bride and groom that they had run out of wine. Back in the day, the weddings could last 5 to 7 days, so to run out of wine would be a big disgrace to the family of the groom. What was Jesus' response to his mother? In verse 4, Jesus said, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Mary was well aware, like we saw earlier, who her son was, and that he could do something about the situation, being the Son of God. Jesus reminds her that his time had not yet come, and he only did what his father told him. You don't have to turn there, but in John 5:19 it says, "Jesus said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you that the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.'" In John 5:30 it says again, "And I can do of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." So what did Mary do when Jesus told her his time had not yet come? In verse 5, it says, "His mother said to the servants, 'Whatever he says to you, do it.'" Mary believed that Jesus would be able to help come up with a solution to help the bride and groom save face. John doesn't tell us, but it appears that Jesus prayed to the Father to see if he should intervene. Let's continue. In verse 6, "Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons of apiece." So that water was usually used for the washings that the Jews did. In verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. So Jesus told the servants what they should do, and they did it just like they were told, as Mary had told them to do. Mary must have had a close relationship with the bride and groom for them to listen to her. Somewhere they had to draw up somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of water, and they filled those water pots to the brim. Now that's a lot of water, and I don't know how long it took them to do that, but they did it. In verse 8 it says, "And he said to them, 'Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast.' And they took it." So they took some of the water out for the master of the feast to taste it. In verse 9, "When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who drew the water knew." They knew that nothing had happened to that other than something that Jesus must have done to it, because it was just water when they put it into those big jars. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he probably wondered Where was this wine before? We should have served it at the first. It's fantastic. In verse 10, it says, and he said to them, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. And it's my guess that he had never tasted wine that good before. In verse 11, it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Read that again. And his disciples believed in him. He had just called them, and now they had seen his first miracle, changing water into wine. By seeing the miracle, by seeing plain water turned into the finest wine, they came to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. What could this miracle have meant? Why would Jesus change water into wine? Is there any symbolism represented by the water and its transformation into fine wine, and with depth and taste and character of a great wine? Let's turn back to Revelation 17. We'll see something about water. 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. What did these waters represent that the harlot was sitting on? Well, it tells us down in verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, languages. Isn't it interesting that the nations are represented as, to us as water, and that at the wedding, Jesus turned water into wine? Does that make you think of the last great day when so many people who have never known the truth will be raised to understand, will be resurrected and have their minds open to the truth, just like we have had our minds open to the truth? And they will begin the process of conversion and have their chance at becoming members of the family of God. And just like the apostles, whose faith was strengthened by seeing all that water turned into wine, I hope that all of us can look back at the times in our lives when God's intervened for us and grew our faith in big ways and in small. Let's all be there for the marriage of the Lamb. Let's make ourselves ready in faithful obedience.